Go to my message to you today. My scripture reading is in Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel 30 and start at the first verse. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Wail, alas for the day! For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near. It will be a day of clouds, a time of doom for the nations. A sword will come upon Egypt, and anguish will be in Ethiopia. When the slain fall in Egypt, they take away her wealth, and her foundations are torn down. Ethiopia, Put, Lud, all Arabia, Libya, and the people of the land that is in league will fall with them by the sword. Thus says the Lord. Indeed, those who support Egypt will fall, and the pride of her power will come down. From Migdol to Serene, they will fall within her by the sword, declares the Lord God. They will be desolate in the midst of the desolated lands, and her cities will be in the midst of the devastated cities. They will know that I am the Lord when I set a fire in Egypt, and all her helpers are broken. On that day, messengers will go forth from me in ships to frighten secure Ethiopia, and anguish will be on them as on the day of Egypt. For behold, it comes. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can, from your word, we can get instructions for the present day, for the present time. Heavenly Father, we can learn of the past, both good and evil. And Heavenly Father, we can learn of the future and things that you would have us to know concerning it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words, and we hope that you will help us to understand the words as you would have. And in the name of your loving Son, Yeshua, we ask these things, and amen. My text is in Ezekiel 30, and I'd like to read those verses over. And I'd like you to strongly consider these verses. Ezekiel 30, and let's start at verse 2. Son of man, prophesy and say, Thus says the Lord God, Well, alas for the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near. It will be a day of clouds, a time of doom for the nations. A sword will come upon Egypt, and anguish will be in Ethiopia. When the slain fall in Egypt, they take away her wealth, and her foundations are torn down. Thus says the Lord. Indeed, those who support Egypt will fail, and the pride of her power will come down. From Migdol to Serene, they will fall within her by the sword, declares the Lord God. They will be desolate in the midst of desolated lands, and her cities will be in the cities of devastated cities. And they will know that I am the Lord when I set a fire in Egypt, and all her helpers are broken. Let's go down to verse, I think it's, let me see. What verse is it that has mentions the Lud and Put? It looks like it's 5. I guess I skipped that. Ethiopia, Put, Lud, all the foreigners, Libya, and the people of the covenant land will die by the sword along with them. That must be a slightly different version than what I have, but I wanted to call your attention to Ezekiel's word for today. Ezekiel's words, plural, for today. The word of the Lord, as you read in the very first part of Ezekiel, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel with warnings and prophecies for the sons of Israel and all the people of the earth, even us today. For some of these words speak to the day of the Lord. And we know that the day of the Lord is speaking of the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth, in which the dead in Christ will rise to meet him in the air first, and then the living in Christ then will rise to meet him. So that is the great and mighty day of the Lord that these words are speaking of. And we know that we are looking forward to that day. We know that we read that there are words to Egypt, Libya, and Arabia. And isn't it something that we can go to God's Word and we can see countries mentioned in God's Word that are in the headlines within the last week? Isn't that something that these countries are still around as these words were spoken of them thousands of years ago? Ezekiel was a prophet of God. When you read him, to me it's sort of like reading Daniel. And as you remember, our message last week was in Daniel. This week in Ezekiel. And both books are pretty dominant with visions from God. Visions of God to his chosen vessels to let them know, and us too, things to come. Things that are relevant for today, and things that are yet in the future. Ezekiel 30, 1 through 5, speaks of these words of Ezekiel. They were part of my scripture reading, and they speak to these countries that we called out. And these countries, you may not be real familiar with them. Some of them have changed through the many years since the times that this was written. But when it speaks of Put and Lud, those are countries that were right around Egypt, as you would expect. A lot of these words are directly to Egypt, but they're to all peoples, and particularly the peoples of those countries. And so some of these countries were bordering Egypt. Libya, of course, is a northernmost country of Africa, and it's between Egypt and Tunisia. So we want to see and we want to consider what the Lord is saying to these countries, because he's also speaking it for our benefit. Let's look at verse 13 of Ezekiel 30. Thus says the Lord God, I will also destroy the idols and make the images cease in Memphis. And there will no longer be a prince in the land of Egypt. And I will put fear in the land of Egypt. You know, the leader of the country has been there for quite a while. He has had to step aside. So we wonder about these words. We know that there's bound to be a lot of fear in Egypt, and not only Egypt, but in all of those lands because of the insecurity. Not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring or going to hold. Much fear. And certainly in Libya. Let's look at the words that Ezekiel, being the vessel of the Lord, let's look at what God says through Ezekiel to Israel. Have you ever read words that was in God, in the Word of God, where when you read the Scriptures, that God is actually speaking not to the men and women. He is speaking directly not to men and women, but He is speaking to the mountains of a certain area, the valleys, the ravines, the hills. Isn't that something? God speaks sometimes to the natural resources of a land. And you say, well, why would God do that? Well, just think about it. Let's go to Ezekiel 36 and verse 1. Ezekiel 36 and verse 1. And you, son of man, now this is God speaking, and He's speaking to Ezekiel. And you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because the enemy has spoken against you, aha, and the everlasting heights have become our possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills, to the ravines and to the valleys, to the desolate waste, and to the forsaken cities, which have become a prey and a derision to the rest of the nations which are round about. Do you see how God speaks to what we may call the natural resources of a country? And let's see what God is speaking about and why He is calling upon the hills, the valleys, the mountains. Let's skip down to verse 8. But you, O mountains of Israel, you will put forth your branches and bear your fruit for my people Israel, for they will soon come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you will be cultivated and sown. I will multiply men on you, all the house of Israel, all of it, and the cities will be inhabited, and the waste places rebuilt. I will multiply on you man and beast, and they will increase and be fruitful, and I will cause you to be inhabited as you were formerly, and will treat you better than at first. Thus you will know that I am the Lord your God. Isn't that something? God is calling on the valleys, the mountains, the hills. He's calling on them to be fruitful and to get ready for the people that are going to be coming back. And who are we talking about? The sons of God. We're talking about the children of Israel that were scattered over the whole earth at points in history because of their disobedience. Because of their turning to idol gods of worship, being influenced by the people in the land that they were surrounded, the land that God gave them had other people there. They believed differently than God's chosen people. They had their own imaginary gods to worship. And over time, God's children were affected by being around pagan people, by being around people that worship another god. And so this is who Ezekiel is speaking to, the scattered children of God that had been scattered by God through the whole earth until a special point in time. And Ezekiel is laying out a message to them. Prophecies. Words for the future. Let's go to verse 22, and let's see what he's saying also. Verse 22. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Do you see God speaking of bringing them back from where they had been scattered? Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you, listen to this, it's speaking of our time. It's speaking of a time that was at least 600 years into the future from when these were spoken. Because Ezekiel lived about 600 years before Christ. And some of the things that he is saying started to take place when Jesus Christ came to this earth for the purpose that he did and fulfill that purpose. And what have we been speaking of recently since the first of the year? The new covenant. God putting within your heart and your mind his laws. And I would say, with a natural tendency toward reacting to his laws the way that he wants you to react. In other words, we spoke about that this morning, God wants you to do what you do in keeping His word and His laws and His commandments and His ordinances. He wants you to do it with a willing heart. He wants you to do it because you want to, because it's best for you, because God knows what is best for you. And He gives it to you. And in this day, we have that new covenant coming forth as never before. That law being written in our minds, written in our hearts. And all we have to do is open our minds and our hearts to God. He's not going to force it in. He's not going to force you to obey. But He's making it awfully available, more so than ever before. Verse 26, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in a land that I gave to your forefathers, so you will be my people, and I will be your God." And God is speaking to you this morning. And He's saying, open your heart and your mind to me. I want to be your loving Father. I want you to live with me forever and ever and ever in my kingdom. God is wanting you in His family. Isn't that amazing? God wants you in His family. He wants you to love Him, respect Him, honor Him. Honor His house of worship. Respect His house of worship. Everything that you do, do it with consideration of being obedient and being the son or daughter of God that you know God would want you to be. Let's go to Ezekiel 37 and verse 21. Ezekiel 37. My message to you is Ezekiel's words for today. Sure enough, it was for some of the people back in his time, for that purpose at that point in time. And it's also speaking to us today and letting us know of things that are happening in the world around us and things that will happen and things leading up to the great day of the Lord. Ezekiel 37 and verse 21. "Say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land." Bring them back home from where they were scattered. "And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. And one king will be king for all of them. And they will no longer be two nations and no longer be divided into two kingdoms." Now what that's speaking of is what happened after King David and King Solomon. The people became so disobedient, turned to idol gods of all things after having the Ten Commandments and God giving them to lead them and guide them and letting them know that there is only one true living God, and that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they have and had that God. All they had to do was take it and believe it. Take it to heart. And then obey. But they somehow always found a way to be disobedient. God, at the end time, is calling them back. And we live, at least partly, in that time right now. The people of God, the Jewish people, the people of the nation of Israel of old, are going back to their homeland as never before. I don't know if you've read a lot about it, but it doesn't take much searching to read of many, many people from all over the world, and for sure including Russia, that the Jewish people of Russia, the Israeli people, the people from the what is called the 12 lost tribes of Israel. Well, they're not really lost, but they are part of the 12 tribes of Israel, and they are returning to their land. And this tells us of this time. We live in that time when we see many of these people. We see this being fulfilled right in front of our eyes. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king will be king for all of them. They will no longer be two nations and no longer divided into two kingdoms. What I was leading up to saying was that at that point in time, after King David and King Solomon, the people turned to pagan worship and they didn't accept the same person as king. Some of them wanted one king, some wanted another. And so you had a southern, instead of having the nation of Israel, they were divided. And Israel was not one at that particular point. They divided. Two nations was called the southern kingdom, and that was Judah around Jerusalem, and Benjamin, which was right next to Judah, and then what was called the northern kingdom on up, toward Lebanon. And that was the northern kingdom. Northern kingdom, southern kingdom, two kingdoms. Both of them disobeyed God and turned from Him in unbelievable ways. But particularly seemed like evil was the northern kingdoms. But this is saying that after the at that point in time, Israel was divided, but in the future to come, there's going to come a time when they unite as one in the land, no longer two kingdoms. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols or with their detestable things or with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned and will cleanse them. And listen, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. After being so disobedient so many times, and even resorting to worshiping idol gods and rejecting the one true living God, even after all of this disobedience, God is still going to tug at their hearts and their minds and bring them back in to His family and accept them. And they will at that time turn back to Him from all of their evil ways, from going their own way after being scattered all over the world. God's plan is still to be a forgiving, loving God to His nation Israel, to His city Jerusalem, to all people that accept Him as their Father God, Yahweh. All people that turn to Yahweh. in faith and in trust and in love and in covenant with Him through the new covenant that He offers to you today. Have you, in your own mind, have you accepted God into your heart and life from the standpoint of accepting His new covenant? A covenant has to be agreed on by more than one person. It may be formulated by one and offered as a proposal by one party, but at least two parties have to agree on the covenant in order for it to be in effect. You have to know the covenant. I will put my laws into your heart and write them in your mind. No one will have to wonder who is God. You will know who God is. And it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's go to Ezekiel. Where was that? Ezekiel 37, 23. Okay, let's go to 24, Dave. My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd, and they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and observe them. They will live on the land that I gave to Jacob my servant, in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it, they and their sons' sons forever. And David my servant will be their prince forever. And I will make, listen, here's the covenant. And I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it will be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. Do you know of other places where we read of God setting His sanctuary or His tabernacle, or if you want a temple, among the people? Have you read scriptures like that? And I will be a God to them, and I will be in their midst. That day is coming, and we read partly about it right here. Let's go to Ezekiel 39 and verse 25. Ezekiel 39 and verse 25. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will restore the fortunes of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. They will forget their disgrace and all their treachery which they have perpetrated against me when they live securely on their own land and no one to make them afraid. When I bring them back from the peoples and gather them from the lands of their enemy, then I shall be sanctified through them in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God, because I made them go into exile among the nations and then gathered them again to their own land. And I will leave none of them there any longer. Isn't that wonderful words? Let's go to Ezekiel 39 and verse 25. See, I evidently didn't put down the chapter which I wanted to end up on. Was the chapter, David, I know he knows it, but it's a chapter where God speaks to Israel. He speaks to the two sticks. And God said at that end time, when He brings and gathers Israel back into the one land, as one nation. God speaks of that in regard to the two nations being brought together, and one, the southern nation being one stick, the northern nation being another stick, and God said that He will bring them back. 37, 16, 15, the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, "And you, son of man, take for yourself one stick and write on it for Judah and for the sons of Israel." This is the southern kingdom. His companions, "Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of the Ephraim and all the house of Israel." And his companions, this is talking about Ephraim or the northern kingdoms. "Then join them together for yourself, one to another, into one stick, that they may become one in your hand. When the sons of your people speak to you, saying, 'Will you not declare to us what you mean by these things?' Say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions,'" that's the northern kingdom, "'and I will put them with it, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand. The sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. Say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. And one king will be king for all of them. And they will no longer be two nations, and no longer will be divided into two kingdoms." Do you see how Ezekiel is explaining to us times that have not been completely fulfilled? That time is yet to come where these two sticks, Judah and Israel, after the gathering, the regathering back into the land, it has yet to happen where they become one stick. And we come closer and closer to that great and mighty day of the Lord. Let's thank the Lord for all of these wonderful things that He brings to us, reveals to us through His prophet Ezekiel. Let's all stand together, and I want us to read the blessing of God in Numbers 6:24. Let's read this together, everybody. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace." Those are wonderful words. And I want to say that I really did enjoy the praise and worship service and these young people praising the Lord and going around the aisles, and Michaela and Cecilia. I want y'all to really know when y'all walk these aisles and you do your little dancing before the Lord that it is in praise to the Lord that you're doing that. It's not just getting exercise. You're giving praise and honor to God by doing this. And let's bow our heads in prayer.